Hey, can I borrow 600 million bucks?
Is that for an election?
Yeah, I'm just going to have my own election for no reason whatsoever. Just like, so absolutely nothing changes, but you're out $600 million.
It seems like a good use of money.
Hello and welcome to episode 560 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam Vancouver.
What's going on in Vancouver, Adam? Election's over with. Done.
Yep.
Votes are in.
I forgot there was an election. That's how exciting it was.
Like, I know.
Nobody that I talked to like really thought a big deal. I mean, I went out and voted, so there's that.
Right.
And then I came home and watched the coverage for about 7 minutes, and I was like, yep, I'm all done with this.
I was perplexed. I'll be honest with you. I was really, like, because obviously, you know, I see it somewhat objectively from farther away, but also I'm Canadian still, so there is some skin in the game, just less than normal. But I don't have my ear to the grindstone over there like you do, so.
Yeah, nobody cares.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was my takeaway. Like I was extremely critical of Trudeau calling an election for absolutely no reason, and what looked like a blatant attempt at a power grab in the middle of a pandemic. But somebody proposed the counter argument, and I got turned around a little bit on it.
Okay.
On the other hand, Trudeau called an election during a pandemic, and those guys couldn't beat him.
True. That's
don't
true.
You think that would have been a huge opportunity for them to step up and go, look at, you're really, whatever you're doing, we don't like it. You're not good at this. Let's get somebody new. And they went, no, we're just going to keep her exactly the same.
Yep.
So I'm not super critical, because at first I thought it was like a power grab, which it was, I think, really. But it's also not a terrible time to have, what do you call it, when you have a vote on one specific issue?
I don't know.
You do know. I can't think of it.
Oh, yes. It's a long word.
A plebiscite. No, it's not a plebiscite at all. No, it's not. It's a, I can't even think of it right now. When you vote on one topic only.
I don't know. I've been only awake for about 22 minutes, so my brain isn't 100% functioning yet. So give me about 11 more minutes and I should be good.
Okay, I'll just vamp for 11 minutes. And, okay, it's called a... No, it's not called a single issue voting.
That would make sense. That would make sense, though.
No, it's like a remand or something. What is it? Come on.
I don't know.
Okay.
We've already lost all of the 11 people that were listening.
No, everyone's yelling at their iPods right now because they know what it is.
Okay.
And I'll think of it at the end. I'm looking up a glossary of election terms, and like, that's not good podcasting.
No.
Is it? Is it? No, it's not a primary.
No.
I'm trying to read here, and it's not. No, delegates, multi-winner system. Nope. Gerrymandering, it's not that. Oh, Google, you don't want me to know what a referendum is.
There you go.
Referendum. That's the word I was looking for. Okay, so good time to have a referendum, actually. All kidding aside, good time to actually have a referendum on, hey, how have I handled this situation? And everyone did what you did and went, who are you? Blah. So I guess that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay. Still down 600 million though. That's the only rub.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have just done this on Facebook for zero.
Yeah. That would have been a great idea.
Facebook. That would have been awesome. Yeah. Everyone here, just go on to Trudeau.com, .facebook. Do you like me or not? And that would settle it. And then it would be like he'd get 40% and be like, all right, that's enough. That's enough for me to keep doing this, I guess. hey, for the rest of the world who thinks Canadians are boring, yeah, you win. This is us.
hard to argue with that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way we like it, though. All right.
I'm still proud to be Canadian, but that's more based on our, you know, hockey performances in the past 40 years of international play.
This is why you bring up an interesting point. Before I get into that, Patreon, Amazon, if you want to help us out, keep up this riveting political talk and learn all about things like referendums, click on our site and help us out on the Patreon. Pledge a couple bucks a month. That really helps us keep going. There's a lot of costs associated that Adam doesn't even know about. And so that helps us keep going. And plus Amazon, again, week after week, won't quit me. It's just a staring contest to see who's going to blink.
Okay.
And it's not me. No, I don't blink. Blinking would require effort. And here I am, not blinking. Okay. Right. Yeah. So click through our site and buy some stuff if you're still doing that. Speaking of referendums, there's always every, 17 and a half years, Quebec has a referendum on whether they should be their own country or not.
Okay, yes, that's true.
I'm simplifying.
Yeah, that's true.
I always, as much as I don't want a split up Canada, I really do want them to split, because imagine the Olympic hockey.
Against Quebec, you mean?
Well, they'll have their own team. Like, Canada will essentially have two teams in the Olympics then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think totally Quebec would be in tough. They would be in tough, yeah.
Oh, Quebec's got, they're going to be top four no matter what.
They're going to be still good, but they won't be able to compete with the rest of Canada.
Right, but they'll probably be able to beat up on Germany, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Switzerland not going to do well against Quebec.
Probably not.
Yeah, so there's that. So I'm thinking it would be good. I mean, is Maurice Richard still alive? I forget. Guy Lafleur, can he play?
Yeah, he probably could. But the best would be a Canada-Quebec final. Wow, how good would that be? Yeah.
It'd be good for everybody north of the border, and that would be it. Zero other people would watch.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. What's going on, Adam? What's going on in Vancouver?
I don't know. Nothing's changed from last week. Just hockey.
First day of fall today, though.
Yeah, I guess it's fall. And today, actually, there was an interesting sky, and I looked outside when I woke up and mentioned it to my children who are getting ready for school. And my wife said, yeah, fall. And that was it.
And your kids are like, what's a sky, Dad? I'm on TikTok. I'll TikTok sky and see what you're talking about.
Well, it was like kind of a orangey, an orangey colored sky, because, you know, at sunrise, it just kind of happened in probably the 20 minutes prior to this announcement that I made. But that plus stormy, kind of, you know, you get the orange, but with the dark blue clouds, like kind of a cool looking morning sky. So that's why I was, I noticed it, but it seemed very fall-like.
For us, it's like, it's nice and warm during the day, which it is now. And then at like 5:30, it's like, yeah, we're all done with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's chilly now. But I still, until today, like, I would not pack. We had some fall evenings here, even though it was still summer technically, but I was protesting. I held a referendum in the neighborhood and we all voted no on fall.
Okay.
And so I continued with the short sleeve t-shirts.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I was like protesting. This is not going to happen. Come on now. But I think maybe this fall I'll take some good pictures finally.
That's good. I like good pictures. Yeah.
I haven't been doing that. Freedom Day. We might have a Freedom Day here in Germany.
Okay.
I say we might. It's been put forth by somebody who's a somebody. I don't pay attention to politics either, Adam.
Okay.
But the guy's saying that the healthcare guy, he's basically saying, hey, October 30th, let her rip. We're all done. Get your vaccine by then, and just like England, that's what they want to do here.
Okay. They just want to be done with it.
I think so. Huh. I think they're just saying, hey, get the, because our, I mean, I don't know. For now, our numbers are really, really, I think, pretty low. But every time that happens, it flips. So who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah. So we'll see. We'll see about Freedom Day. That would be kind of nice. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Went for a hike the other day on Saturday out by a little town called Metzingen. Do you know Metzingen, Adam?
No, I do not.
Little town. Its most famous resident was one Hugo Boss.
Okay.
You know, he probably made the cologne you wore in grade 9.
Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah.
Brute.
First of all, did he make that? No, that's something.
No, but that was the cologne I wore in grade 9. I think it was in a green bottle. It was Brute.
Okay.
I think it was my dad's and I just borrowed it. And I was like, yeah, okay. I'm a brute.
Who wants some Brute?
I think it was more aftershave than cologne though, to be fair.
Despite you not shaving?
Yeah, well, I probably did shave in grade 9.
Did you? Yeah, maybe you did.
I'm going to say so. Did. Yeah, I'm going to say so.
I think I had my first razor around, like I had an electric razor for some reason. My parents thought that was a good idea. Even though I probably could have shaved, you know, once every 2 months. But I had Alfred Sung. Alfred Sung was the cologne du jour back then.
Okay. All right.
Now it's nothing. Now I don't know about you. I wear zero.
I haven't worn cologne in 30 years.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Good times. Anyways, point being, yeah, it's where Hugo Boss is from. It's also where my wife's grandma is from. She was his neighbor growing up. Like, actually grew up next to Hugo Boss, which is kind of odd. Okay. Anyway, we were out there and went for a hike, and for some reason did not bring my camera. I don't know why. I guess I thought, it's noon. It's going to be kind of not good light. And then we hiked up to the glider airport, like where they have gliders.
Okay.
You know what a glider is, right?
A plane with no engine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
the thing? There's really just planes with no engines just hanging around?
Yeah. I put a video. I'll post the video.
I saw the video. I did see your video, but I was perplexed by that being some sort of model situation.
Nope. That's a real person in there.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So they have like this weird sort of, not like, I, for lack of a better word, a catapult, I guess, system. Like, it's like a big rope that they ramp up, like way at the end of the field. You can't see there. Way at the end of the field is like this big spool with like a motor, like a... probably like a Ford Granada straight six or something like that, and just crank it up, get that thing up. Like, it just takes off pretty much almost straight up in the air. Like, it just gets it up there. And then when it lets go, you'd think like the rope just falls. Nope, the rope has a little parachute attached to the end and just floats down.
Well, you don't want to damage the rope.
Well, it's just grass. I don't know. I think you can fall on grass. Yeah,
maybe not from 1,000 feet. If it weighs, you know, anything substantial, that rope would go right through the ground
and come out in China. Is that how that works?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure you understand the physics, but of terminal velocity. But I'll check that out.
I think they're not putting the wait. But yeah. Before you drop that and just move on, I don't think they're putting the parachute on for fun.
My kids love it though, so I think it might be for fun.
Okay, all right.
That's fine. It was my kids' favorite part was the little fall sherm. So they really like, hey, look at that, get it, because you can hear them in the video, get a picture of it, Mama, get a picture, like film it, Mama, and Mama doesn't. She's like, because you know she doesn't like to get bossed, so she didn't bother. So I guess the listeners will just have to imagine what a little fall sherm looks like. Thanks, dear. But anyway, I was kind of bummed. I was like, I want to take my camera. And then I thought about it later. I was like, why? What would I get pictures of? Like, what? How would it be better than the video I have of that?
How old are your kids again?
30.
Okay, no. How old?
No.
How old are they?
7 and 10.
7 and 10. So what I liked about the video was how excited they were about what was going on. Like, that you couldn't really, you saw the glider go up, but then it was, they're really excited about the, again, and they're speaking in German, so I didn't know until you just said about the parachute or whatever's coming down. So their level of excitement in that exact same scenario, my kids are 12 and 14. They would have given a crap. Like they would not have cared at all just in that. And I'm like, oh man, just a couple of years and that difference in enthusiasm about stuff. Yeah, there would have to be a guy shot out of a cannon on fire, like, you know, with fireworks going off. And I mean, just to get them for about 2.5 seconds.
Oh yeah, it would have to be Tara, no, what's her name? The TikToker, TikToker I saw who's in a movie.
I don't know. You're what's asking the wrong guy. Yeah, I'm not in the loop. I'm not in the loop at all.
We'll have a referendum on her.
Okay.
And see, they did some remake or something on Netflix. Addison Rae, that's her name.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, this is where we're at. Where she's very famous on the TikTok and Instagram. So they made a movie with her. It does not look good.
Oh, speaking of TikTok, yesterday, I think it was yesterday evening, I was watching a little bit of the Yankees baseball game, and in the Yankee Stadium behind, not like one of those fake ads, but one like behind the backstop, like what, as you're watching the vantage point from pitcher to batter in behind, right in behind on the banner is like TikTok Yankees, like whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, that hurt my feelings a little bit. Yeah.
Because?
just that is what you're staring at during a Yankees game now. Yeah. Like that, yeah, that's just, it just didn't feel right. Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of baseball, man, I was baffled because when you said they play 2 7-inning games, I was like, what the? Turns out that's a Corona rule. I didn't realize that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So because they basically were like, yeah, we don't want to keep everyone together for that long. And I'm like, I'm not sure you understand how this works, but those extra two innings are not, that's not what's stopping the spread of Corona. But so they went because back in the day, like when there was,
but what about the extra innings thing? That's been going on. That was not just this year. I believe it was last year as well.
No, that's a Corona thing too. Yeah.
That's also,
they're ditching that. Like next year, they're going back to 9-inning double. Like they try not to have double headers because like back in the old days, they had double headers and it was awesome. You can go watch two games. Well, now it's the last 30 plus years when they have double headers, like not counting now, obviously, because Corona, but before that, they play the game, clear the stadium, and then let everybody back in for the second game, like a second gate.
Yeah.
For another 9 innings, which is crazy. Because they want the gate from all 81 home games, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how it works. But they're going back to 9. They're going to lose the runner because that runner is kind of a dumb rule. I hate that.
Makes almost every game end in the 10th, though. That's the upside. Yeah,
but that's, or you could just be good. That's what I think. But anyways, they're doing that. So they're getting rid of it. That's awesome. And I don't really care because I don't watch baseball anymore because I find it boring. But apparently the National League is going to have the DH next year.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I was kind of hoping they'd go the other way, especially with Ohtani showing people that, hey, you can just do both. Just do both. Just hit. Just hit. All right. That's enough. Reminder, monthly challenge. And that'll be next week, by the way. We're doing the monthly challenge next week. We're going to record it right on the 30th of September. Otherwise, we've got to wait way too long. Otherwise, the monthly challenge will air like September 11th or October 11th or something. Let's not do that, Adam.
Okay, what are you proposing?
Next week, we do the monthly challenge.
Next week, we do the monthly
challenge. Yeah, but that's going to be September the 3rd. That's the end of September.
Okay, that's
fine. But I'm just saying, if whoever's listening and thinking, I'm going to wait until midnight o'clock on September the 30th, do not.
What was the monthly challenge again? I've long forgotten.
Monthly challenge was a daily photo. I can't think of anything funny to burn. It was close to home.
Close to home. All right.
Which is good because you live there. So
yeah, I have a chance to do it in the next week.
You could probably probably do yours in your podcast chair.
Mm, I have a standing desk. I think I told you that.
Okay, there you go.
I have no chair.
Your podcast nest.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to basically do is I'm just going to use my webcam and snap a selfie while I talk to you right now. That's going to be mine.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go put a shirt on, though. Yeah. So there's that. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers, even better, do both and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. And we will check that out next week. So get it in by September the 29th this week. Otherwise, it just drags out. We're going to end up doing back-to-back monthly challenges if we don't do it. So there's that. All right, photo challenge this week, Adam, was close-up.
Mm-hmm.
You shot some hockey. Oh, no, wait. Did you shoot anything interesting? That's what I meant to ask you.
I did not, but
you shot hockey.
Yeah, but that ties into the photo challenge. So we can just kind of... We can just talk about the photo challenge. I put two photos in there. One was like nobody else is in the photo and it's a little bit closer technically. I think I've mentioned in the past, like the rub on shooting hockey is the kids keep getting bigger and faster. So it's harder to stop the action. The rinks are incredibly dark. And
why so dark? Why nowadays when LEDs are super bright and free?
Yeah,
I
think they like the nostalgic factor of just everyone in a dank, dark kind of arena. I don't know. It's mind-blowing to me that there isn't better light in the rinks. But bottom line is...
So which rink is this? Well, was this game that you shot? Where is
this? This is in the ice center. This is in one of the middle rinks, the Coliseum. That's our home ice. So these photos are both from the Coliseum.
So wait, you make Burnaby Winter Club drive all the way out and play there?
Well, we had to go to Burnaby Winter Club like a couple days prior.
Yeah, but you didn't have to play in that rink though. Like they have a halfway decent rink, don't they?
They have a pretty nice rink, yeah. But they pay a lot of money to be a part of the Burnaby Winter Club, so they should have a better rink than us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understood.
So the rub is you're shooting through glass, and in the case, I should have taken a picture of what the glass looks like, because I was saying to one of the other parents who's on the board for Richard, I'm like, do you think we could get some new glass at some point? It is covered in like basically black rubber puck marks, like all over the glass and in behind the net. So if you shoot from behind the net where the first picture is, where I'm basically shooting from the corner out towards Jack, he's lined up in the offensive zone. He's a defenseman. He's lined up for a faceoff. So that photo where you've got the two Burnaby players and he's kind of in between them and I'm shooting through, like that is through some of the dirtiest, like, you know, your black smudge filter thing that you did, like that's basically what these are. And so anyways, I would love it if, like, we talked about it. I'm like, hey, how about one of those little cutouts, a little spot where you just cut it out and I can shoot through there. I don't think they're gonna go for it, but that's what the NHL does. They just have a little cutout big enough to put your camera lens just through, and then you don't have to shoot through the glass. So there's that. So they're fast moving, it's dark, and you basically have to crank the ISO. I think these photos are at 8,000 ISO. So if you don't have a full frame camera or at least some kind of amazing 20-21, 20-22 crop sensor with the best kind of noise cancellation, it's pretty hard to get anything. There you go.
Well, anything at 8,000. I mean, 8,000. This is not your father's 8,000 ISO, right?
Right.
Like, however, so this is your 6D, right?
This is the 6D with the 70-200 lens, yeah.
Okay, so the 6D, I mean, that's a pretty fairly old camera by today's standards, though.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, when it came out, the ISO handling was unbelievable. I mean, it's been surpassed a lot since then in like... Not even just the 6D Mark II, but other cameras. Like I'm guessing if you shot with the, the R5 or whatever the fancy one is.
Yeah,
The ISO there is going to be crazy. It's still ISO 8000 though. Like it's phenomenal, but not a miracle worker.
Right. It's just there isn't enough light, and if I could shoot everything at 1/200th of a second. then obviously, you know, like if the play was always stopped, then you would get great photos even in this dark situation. The problem is that anything slower than 1/800th of a second, you don't have any chance. Like they're so moving so quickly. So then you got blur. So if you want to stop motion, you're basically just, you're right up against the limits of what pretty much any good camera can do. Now I could get the 70-200.
What about in-body stabilization though?
Maybe that would make a difference.
No,
yeah, maybe.
No, it wouldn't. I'm just joking. It would not stop your son.
No, it wouldn't stop that. But I mean, maybe then you could go a little bit lower and not worry about camera shake. But no, bottom line is they're moving too fast. So you're going to get blur of the players. So, right. So even a 2.8 lens, like, okay, there's a little bit more. You're still shooting on probably an ISO 6400. I would like to probably be even closer to, you know, 1/2000th of a second for the speed of the player movement. So most of the best photos are after goals or as guys are kind of like moving more directly to you versus across the frame. So yeah, I mean, there I basically took the camera out to three different games and I tried to get a couple pictures of each kid. I don't think I was 100% successful, but I have so many good photos, but they're all in the scenarios where the speed of what they're doing has kind of slowed down a little bit. The best are after goals, like the smiling faces, the hands up, like hockey goal celebrations are awesome. The players all come together, like one guy gets kind of hugged by another guy and the big smiles on their faces with the arms raised, they're awesome. I have a few that I really like, but of course I haven't gotten permission from parents to post any of those, so I won't. But I had some great moments right after something good happens.
Okay.
But I try to include only photos. The one of my son by himself, which I like because I think because he's got the puck at the point and he's kind of, I think he's going to make a pass to somebody anyways. He's circling. He's kind of making a cut on his edges. He's got the puck on his back and he's got his head up. Yeah. And it shows you like the way the rinks work. Now I kind of did the little move where you pulled with the highlight priority to kind of make a bit of a kind of a gray gradient, but that was there already because the way the rinks work is the lights kind of like are on mostly in the areas where there's player movement. And so I guess it's an energy saving function and it's not like it goes dark, but it's a little bit darker in areas where there's no movement. Right. So you pick this up almost like a Christmas tree that's blinking, like it's subtle, but in the still image, you can see patches of the ice, which are a little less lit. And I just accentuated the effect because I liked it. It kind of gave me like a spotlight feel to the image. And I like the shadows on the ice too. So I kind of wanted to make those a little bit more dramatic. And I just like how the ice looks when you kind of darken it a little bit. So
yeah, this was this extra grain too.
Yeah. So it just kind of looked cool. And so, of course, when you get the player head on versus your angle through the glass, you get a much sharper, better contrast, better saturation, more clear. This one, he's moved across. So I've now shooting at an angle through the glass, which sucks. So a lot of the photos that I find the best ones are when the action just happens to be on a place on the ice where I'm basically directly through a clean spot in the glass versus to have to tilt the camera even 10 degrees off axis really changes the contrast. Sometimes you get reflections. It's shooting hockey is definitely difficult through glass. That's what I'm going to say.
But you have a game at Rink 1 at Minoru coming up, don't you?
I don't know that we did. Last time we played in Minoru, we played in the crappy little rink, the silver rink. So hopefully we have one again in Minoru because that's a better spot to shoot. I also could probably ask the coach at some point if I could just go in the penalty box and take some photos. I don't know that anyone would say no to that.
Probably not. No, someone will say no. One person will say no and ruin it for the whole class. Because if I remember correctly, unless they covered them up, doesn't Minoru Rink 1, like the main rink, have a skylight that runs the length of it?
No, not anymore. No.
Or maybe I'm thinking of somewhere else. It's a rink I grew up in. You'd think I'd know by now, but
no, the oval is probably the best. The oval is probably the best because one of the rinks is close to a whole bunch of natural window light. So it's like basically, right. Yeah, that's the best place. If we never play there, but if we ever play there in that rink, that would be the best case scenario for light, because it's naturally lit for the most part. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll make a phone call and just say, okay. Yeah, Adam's got to get in there.
Yeah. So there you go. So hockey, yeah, it's fun, but yeah, the maybe I'm due for a new camera. I'm gonna slip that in there quietly. Just I would love to have just better in these scenarios, just better. And I mean, I'm not buying the $2,500 70-200 lens. That's not gonna happen. So no. I would rather put that money into, you know, a new body at some point next year, in the next year. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to get a new camera body, I feel.
All right. You sticking with the Canon? Going to go to Fuji? What are you doing?
No, I think I would stay with Canon. Yeah.
You have the lenses. That's the
key.
Yeah.
And I've always been happy. I have nothing but good things to say about the 60. It's been absolutely amazing. And I probably, it will eventually just become my beater camera, which it kind of already is. I use it almost for everything. And I take the 5D Classic out very, very rarely, mostly because just the battery life on it. Like that's the main rub on the 5D Classic. So if I'm only going to go for an hour, I'd take it. But for a day, absolutely not. I'll have to go through 10 batteries in frustration.
So your photo challenge is the one of Jack by himself.
Yes, because it's more of a close up. The other one is, I mean, it's 200 mils, but from the distance he is to the camera from where I shot it, it's not technically a close up. I like that photo better because of the colors and because of just the players and just the contrast between the yellows and blacks of the other team and him popping through. So I like that photo better. Plus it's stopped, so it's a little bit sharper and through the glass at a point where it's just more clear. But but again, the other photo is technically more of a close up. Yeah.
I think you're going to have to turn this into a poster for Youngblood 2.
Which one?
The one of him by himself.
Okay.
Like if you remember Youngblood, which I have to watch that again, but
I love Youngblood, but I don't remember the poster for it. I feel like it's just,
I don't remember the poster. I remember like the lighting in the small town rink was like high contrast. Like they had brought a smoke machine in, like it was crazy. it looked like no rink ever. It looked like it was lit by the Zamboni headlights.
Right.
It was just unbelievable. And how much it looked like not a hockey rink, but it was funny. And so, great movie. Check it out.
Okay.
All right. So here's my close-up. I shot my daughter, ISO 100. That's where we differed, you and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can see where the ISO from 100 to 8,000, you see where you get your money goes. Just simple clamshell lighting. The end.
Yeah, when I look at this, I mean, I like the photo. I like the lighting. I like everything. It's just, I can see her pores.
And this is a low res. Like this is a low res Instagram image too.
Yeah, and so I think that's the part is I feel like, and this is where high definition and 4K and everything is kind of hard for me, is like, I don't think I should see, you know, the newscasters or the Hollywood celebrities makeup or like there is a too close. And so as much as your daughter is very cute, I don't need to see her pores. And so I never shoot things this close and this clear. Like, I don't know. And I know like if you shot this photo of your wife, she'd probably like, no way you're posting that. Like that's kind of, I don't know, most people's feelings on themselves. There's like, I don't need to see that kind of detail.
Yeah. Okay, then. And then, like I said, this isn't even HD. This is
Am I wrong? Do you feel the same way?
Yeah. No, in general, yeah. I mean, that's when you talk in terms of video too, that's something different. Like that's it goes into frame rate and all that stuff too. That's a whole separate conversation, but yeah, I mean this will be posted on Instagram. So where are you looking at it on your phone?
I'm looking at my on my iMac. So I'm looking at it probably as the size of a true 8x10 image.
And it doubles it. So it's actually that's the weird part is that like I'm looking at it on my iMac as well, and so it doubles the actual size. If you actually make it down to how big it would be. It's not quite as egregious because it's so small. But even still, it's shot with an L lens, and so everything is so clear, clearer than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's that. So what I found weird is that, like, I'm not sure. Like, this is shot at, like, with the 24 to 105 because I was using it for something else and had it on there, and it's actually incredibly excellent at f/8, which this is. But it's right at racked right out to 105. Which is not a focal length I typically shoot at. I typically shoot people at like 85 or closer to the 200 end. But 105, it's rare that I shoot that. And to me, I mean, this looks like my daughter, but there's something proportionally different. Like, this doesn't look like my daughter exactly.
Okay.
So I can't tell what it is. Like, the ratio between her chin and her forehead or her nose and her ears, there's something that just looks atypical.
Okay.
You don't have to solve it. I'm just letting you know.
I understand. I'm not offering a solution.
Whew, thank God.
Okay.
So this is just up and down. This is just a top bottom clamshell. You can see the catch light in her eyes with a hair light in behind, just to light the top of her head. This is like the third setup I had. I had something else in mind entirely. Had it all set up so when she got home from school, boom, we just take the photo, and failed horribly. Like, it just looked terrible.
You know, I'm looking at the photos, you know, and just next to the one of Jack where he's over the face-off circle between the other two players, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe your daughter showed up for that game and just kind of took a photo right next to that wall. Like, there's literally the identical color, like, in the background there, and I was like, oh, that's kind of funny, like, just a weird random kind of occurrence.
That's why we tied it in.
Yeah.
In the red rink.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Topic this week. Wanted to ask you a question, Adam, about customization. That's the topic, how to customize your camera. So I am springing this on you, so hopefully you have your cameras near you. I don't know. Do you have them within arm's reach?
I think the 6D within arm's reach.
Okay. So I'm curious to know, because a friend of mine just bought a new camera, a Fuji, I'm going to say X-T30, like the smaller one, which is actually kind of a really cool camera. But I was helping him get set up the other day, and we didn't have much time, but I was going to help him customize all the buttons because that's what I do with my cameras. Do you customize your camera settings?
I think at one point I did, but I never use it. I use it on one mode, which is, you mean like the custom buttons. I just have the mapping to the autofocus change so that I can have the back button focus.
That's a customization. There's
one. That's the only one that I have. Cause I have the custom setting where, you know, I did it once upon a time. I don't even know what I set it up for. I think I might've set it up for video. And then I never use that custom setting. In fact, mine's so customized, I don't even have that little metal plate that sits on top of the dial on the top of your camera.
Right.
Like, that popped off like 2 years ago.
Right. I remember
so that. I don't even know which setting's which. It's always on manual. And I mean, I could figure it out. If I were to bump it, I could kind of see, like, all right, I have to go, you know, one or two clicks until I find manual again. But I don't even have that. That's how often I change my settings is never.
That's funny because I have the C1, C2, C3 setting on the 5D Mark III as well. And I have set them in the past, and they're probably still set. Like you said, one's for video, one's for my wife. One's for video, and the other two are for my wife, probably. Like inside AV, outside AV.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, here, boom, that's at, you know, ISO 1600, that's at ISO 100, and I just here hand it off and go. So I typically don't use those, but I do set up my camera. Obviously, back button focus is the big one because it's not set up to do that out of the box.
Right.
You kind of have to map it. You have to tell your camera, hey, use this button for that. But are there any other buttons that you've assigned, you've changed on the 6D?
No.
Because the older cameras weren't that flexible, actually. Like, they had a little bit of customizable things, like maybe a custom menu you could add, but in terms of mapping buttons, it was pretty limited. So I did that with the with the 5D for back button focus. And then I changed the button inside the little wheel. I changed that from whatever it was. I set it for playback to play back my images. Instead of looking for the play button, you can just quickly flick that and it'll play back. But also in video mode, it's set to zoom in. So I like to do like a digital zoom on the LCD so I can check focus.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's it for, but then in terms of the menus, did you not set a custom menu, like your favorites menu for your 6D?
No.
Oh boy, Adam, you're missing out, man.
I feel like because I have so many reps on that camera, like I don't even have to think about it. Like I know where everything is in those menus. Like,
yes.
It's faster than I could probably set up a custom menu. Like it's, and again, I probably, if I did it 5 years ago, it would have saved me some time, but now it's so automatic that it takes me zero time. Yeah.
Even on the Fuji, because the Fuji has a notoriously terrible menu system.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate, that's the one knock on the Fuji in my opinion, is their menu system is terrible. However, they do allow for a lot of customization. So I had to go and check because there's like, basically I took a few, like all my favorite, all the settings I use often on the 5D Mark III, I have those mapped to the favorites menu. So you pop it up, boom, they're easy to find. So for example, that would be custom white balance.
Okay.
Like for example, like when you're using the custom white balance setting and you need to basically, you know, so you snap a photo of the gray card and you say, hey, use that.
Mm-hmm.
That's on there. I have the format card on there because I do that, you know, mm-hmm. frequently, hopefully not by accident. I have the LCD brightness mapped to that one.
Okay.
Because I actually use that relatively, you probably use it never, but I needed to change it back and forth depending on how I'm shooting video.
Yeah, I almost never use that.
Right. Just set it in the middle and leave it probably.
Yep.
Because the problem there is if you set it for super bright for something and you forget, then next time you check, you think, oh, wow, my images are too bright. And then you end up, you know, underexposing, which is no fun. But I use that, and I have the date and time mapped to that, not to change, but just to quickly check if I need to check out what time it is. If I'm not wearing a watch, that's easy to do.
Okay.
And then a couple of video settings, which I use frequently, like for example, sound. I usually just use auto levels for sound because I'm recording. I record sound separately, so that's just a scratch track on the camera. So I don't really care if it's good as long as you can hear it. Like I'm basically. All I'm listening for is the clapping of my hand to slate.
Okay. But
other than that, so that's about it on that one. I don't typically, anything else is based around video settings. But it is handy. I do suggest to everybody out there, do not be like Adam in this case. Definitely pick out the five things that you use the most and map them to that favorite, my menu, whatever it's called.
I'm going to do it.
Okay, you're not going to do it.
No, I think I will. It seems like something I should have done. Yeah,
it is very fast. Now, here's the thing: so the X100 is way more customizable. Like you can change basic almost any button to almost any function. So, have you done any of that with the
X100? I think my X100 is literally default.
Really? Just out of the box, here we go.
Yeah. I think actually, because when I bought it, because I bought it Craigslist style, and I think when I got it, I just reset it to factory default and never changed anything.
What about back button focus?
Nope. I'm pretty sure like on that camera, you can do it out of the default. I think there is a button that you can use.
Right.
I could be wrong on that because I do have it, but I don't think I set it up for that.
Okay,
I'll have to go back and look because maybe that was the one adjustment I did make. What button is your on your Fuji? What have you mapped your back button focus to?
There's the little back wheel that you use for other things, but if you press that in, it acts as a button as well as a wheel.
Okay, and that's what you have it mapped to?
That's what I have the back button focus on.
Is it? Is there another button that can be used for the back button focus? Like you can use any button?
Yeah. I think you can use the other two in the back.
Yeah, because I feel like it's not that button. Well, it's definitely not that I have it used for. I think it's a little button.
Yep. I think you can use that one too. But I prefer it because it's in the exact same place as it would be on my 5D. So it's like that muscle memory. So it works good for me.
Gotcha.
So I have that one mapped out. Obviously, that was the first one I did. Because I shoot, every once in a while, I will shoot autofocus, like the full-on face detect. It does a pretty good job. It does a great job, actually. But I do generally prefer to do the manual / autofocus, but with the back button. So this, what do we call that? Semi-manual focus?
I don't know. I think it's still autofocus. Yeah. I don't have the face detection turned on. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I typically use the back button. Like it because you have to set it to manual focus on the actual camera. You set it to M, but then you use the back button to do the one-time autofocus. So that's what we're talking about. So I have that set. I've mapped the flash function. So on the very front of the camera there's the little lever that you can switch the eyepiece, to either EVF or rangefinder.
Okay.
But in the middle of that is a little button. Now, way back when, I had that set to be the ND filter on or off.
Okay.
But I was not vigilant at managing that. So I would oftentimes just leave the ND filter on and wonder why I couldn't get an image. You know, like I was like, what am I doing? And you know, when I was inside. So I basically had to take that off of there. And I now have it set for the flash function. So I can just quickly bring up, you know, exposure compensation on the like flash exposure compensation or whatever I want to bring up, I can bring up with that button.
Okay.
What about wireless control? Does yours have the Wi-Fi built in?
No.
Okay, no problem then. You can lose that button then.
Okay.
That's something, you're missing that not at all, actually. I use mine never. Almost never. Almost like every once a year, I will use my iPhone as a remote for one time. And that's about it.
I used the Wi-Fi on the 6D because the 6D does have it built in. And I used it when we were at a baseball tournament in the summer to send, my wife is sort of the social media person for the Richmond baseball. And so I was sending her while we were kind of at the game, some decent photos that I was taking so she could live post. So I was sending them from the camera and then to the phone and then sort of texting them back and forth. And I thought it was great, except for I've done that once in the last 5 years. So
right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So but I do have it mapped out to there's a button on top that I can basically click that. Boom, it creates the Wi-Fi thing and I can hook up and connect if I need to, if I can use the remote or transfer photos like you're saying. I typically shoot raw, so then I then have to convert them to JPEG in the camera and upload them, which is kind of a pain.
It doesn't just do that? It doesn't just automatically convert them?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so. Maybe it does. I think I won't recognize them if it's not JPEG, I think. So, but I have that set up. What about ISO? How do you control your ISO on the X100?
I have it. Actually, that is one thing that I did set. So that's not completely default. I set it to the ring. I have to pick it up and hold it to figure out what I mapped it to. But I did map the ISO to make it easier. I want to say it's the ring. I could be wrong.
Because they have the hard dial ISO.
Yeah.
I don't like using that.
Yeah, I don't either. I changed it to something else.
I set mine to the front little wheel, like the index finger wheel.
Yeah, that's, I'm pretty sure, what I did as well. I don't think there's that many choices for that, though.
I don't remember all the choices.
Yeah.
I do know that, like, with the X100, like, the more expensive cameras, they give you a lot more options, because I was looking at the X-T30, which is a quote-unquote lower-end camera, even though it's awesome, but it's kind of like more of an entry level what they're marketing it as, and they've kind of limited what you can map to where.
Right.
So that's kind of weird. But I prefer having the little wheel on there. And then again, now here's what you really have to do in the Fuji is create your own menu, because though that menu system is deep. Like it you can find everything you want, but there's so many things in there and it takes a while to get to. So you pick out your favorite kind of things, map them to your My Menu, and you're good to go. Because it also has the little Q button too. Does it still have the Q on the X100S?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can basically map a bunch of your most common things to that. Most common variables that you're going to change, you can have set on the Q. I don't really use that ever. But I have in the menu mode, I do have I have movie mode is something I use quite often when I'm shooting movies. I want to go between frame rates. Because I shoot, like normally I shoot at 23:98, but sometimes if I'm going to shoot something that's going to be slow-mo, I'm going to slow it down. I'm going to shoot at 60 frames a second.
Okay.
So that's changed that. I've put the ND filter into that menu. I used to have it on the hard button, as I said, but I'm kind of a moron, so I always forget it. So I kind of need to go in and actually physically change it in that menu to remember that I did it.
Got it.
Then I have the built-in flash on or off, because if I want to add a trigger or an on-camera flash, then you kind of have to tell it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't want to use the on-camera flash or the built-in one. And then it has the highlight shadow tone, because I typically shoot flat when I shoot photos because I'm shooting raw. But when I'm shooting video, I want to control the contrast and actually shoot lower contrast. So I have that ready to go dialed in.
Okay.
So point being, you can, especially if you have a newer camera, like in the last 5 years, you can probably dial it in to exactly how you want it. I highly suggest you do that. It's going to make things go a lot faster.
Great.
The end. All right. Challenge for next week, Adam, is our monthly one that is close to home. I'm hoping you're going to take a shot of your buttons on your X100.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Don't do that. Honestly,
I got something magical planned.
Yeah. Is it that? Because forget I said anything.
Okay. No, it's not that.
Okay. Something magical. Oh.
Might be, guess now? Might be overselling it. Yeah. No. Okay, don't guess. Something don't
magical.
Guess.
Yeah. Close to home. Yeah. Magic.
Yeah.
Okay. Card trick. Make card trick.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll check that out next week. Website, Adam, you're still on the Instagram. I haven't seen anything in a while.
I sometimes like other people's stuff and then occasionally comment, but posting my own stuff, yeah, I feel like I've just given up. It's not, every time I say I'm going to do it, I don't. So look for my comments on Instagram.
Okay, so between now and next week,
yeah,
how many comments can we expect? Like, what's the over-under on comments?
I'm going to say 3.
Okay, so the over-under is, I'm going to set the over-under at 3.5.
Okay.
And you're going to take the under.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take the over. I'm going to do 4. I'm going to do 4 comments.
I have taken a ton of hockey photos. And so at least I'll, you know what? I'm going to post a couple other photos of Jack from hockey.
Okay.
There you go. That's going to be the real kind of nugget, the Easter egg that's out there on Instagram, is a couple of hockey photos that weren't included in the podcast. Special privilege to people who follow Adam Two Hosers. Yeah. Get on it. Yeah.
Wow, totally worth it. I might sign up for Instagram now.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, no, yeah, otherwise you're missing out. Everyone else will see it. You won't see it. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, fine. I'll sign up. I'll probably just use the Two Hosers account since we already have that.
Okay.
I'll just check that out. That's where, actually, yeah, you can find us at, Two Hosers on the Instagram. But you can find my stuff at alanatridge.com. Can you really? Because if you want to find my stuff from 2010, from the last time the Olympics were in Vancouver, that's where you can go. Go to alanatridge.com. It's kind of a time machine to back when I cared about the internet.
Right. Okay.
That's at alanatridge.com. But the two of us at twohosers.com, where I post every week, Adam, where you can find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.